Good morning. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your grace that you so freely give. We're thankful, Lord, that we can gather together to worship you, to praise you, to thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that you write it upon our hearts and minds. Make it a part of who we are as your people. And Lord, we just ask you to fill this place with your presence in a mighty way, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we give you praise and thanks. Amen. Welcome, everybody. Reminders that there are prayer cards in front of you in the seats. You can take those out, fill them out, and then they will be collected here shortly. Then we will take and place. It's going to be a good day. This has been happening all morning. We're going to place those up here up front, and then they'll be prayed over. And then you can gather them up, take them home with you, and pray over the one you would like to, or whatever's up here that you get throughout the week.
Are you ready?
I'm as ready as it's going to get. Okay. Good morning again.
Good morning.
If you'd open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, we are working our way through that. And last week we looked at anger and how we can allow anger to take root in our hearts. Then we understand that what comes from our hearts, what motivates us, that's the center of our being, biblically speaking. Because if anger, if not handled correctly, leads to bitterness, then that continues, that bitterness continues to grow and influence our whole world. And it just bleeds out of that. And we've got to be very careful with that we don't allow that to happen. We have got to go to the other person, whether we are angry with them, as verse 22 talked about. That's chapter 5. I'm sorry, I didn't get us there. Chapter 5, verse 22. Or if they have something against us, which is verse 23. This, as well as our next passage of scripture that we're going to look at today, are dealing with the kingdom life, the kingdom blessings that we have looked at in the Beatitudes, particularly the blessings of a pure heart. How can your heart be pure if you're harboring anger or bitterness or lust? Let's look at our verses today, verses 27 through 32. Chapter 5 of Matthew. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now if your right eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of your parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now it was said, whoever sends his wife away is to give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of sexual immorality, some of your translations say fornication, but sexual immorality covers it all, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. This is the seventh of the top 10, right? 10 commandments. This is number 7. Deuteronomy 22:22 tells us that. If a man is found lying with a married woman, both the man who lay with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel. Now, I could not find anywhere in the Old Testament or the New where that actually took place. It came close with the stoning of the woman, but we'd never read of it actually happening. And there was reasons for that, which we'll get into. We as the church are not under the law, but under grace. And the New Testament does not recommend any such punishment for adultery. However, the act of adultery carries its own punishment. Sexual sin is an offense committed against one's own body, 1 Corinthians 6:18. And Proverbs warns of the consequences of adultery, loss of honor and strength, 5:9-11, a ruined reputation, 5:14, bondage and death, again, Proverbs 5:22-23, self-destruction, 6:23, and the vengeance of a jealous husband, 6:34. 6:27-29, read this. Can anyone take fire in his lap and his clothes not be burned? Or can a person walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. There's so much there that we have to be aware of, that we see taking place in the world all the time. Just turn on, walk through the grocery line and look at a People magazine. I don't have to go any further than that. Proverbs also tells of the character of the adulterer. He is called simple and senseless, 7:7, and compared to an animal caught in a snare and then slaughtered, 7:22-23. A man who commits adultery has no sense, destroys himself, 6:32. So now you know the consequences of adultery. Everybody should understand that by now. Now, I don't want you to think that the consequences are any different for the adulteress. They're the same. It's not just the guy that's in trouble here, right? Sin separates from God. And those who practice or participate in sin will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They will suffer eternal fire and damnation. The spiritual consequences of adultery are very severe. I don't think there's a worse word that I could come up with or a better word that I could come up with than severe. They're just severe. Now, to look lustfully on another is to commit adultery in your heart. Jesus said that, right? As we know, in order to be blessed, we have to have pure hearts. No bitterness, no lustfulness. Both Deuteronomy and Leviticus tell us that we are not to look at the nakedness of another. I want you to hear what it says in Leviticus 19:16. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. That nakedness belongs to somebody else. It's not just theirs. You're looking at somebody else's that belongs to them, their nakedness. If you read all of 19, it is abundantly clear that the nakedness of another is not yours, unless it's your spouse. It's not yours, does not belong to you, and is not to be looked at or upon. Pornography in any form is to uncover the nakedness of another of what does not belong to you. Period. It doesn't belong to you. Don't look at it. Now, God has made the opposite sex attractive. It's all right to notice. It's not all right to gawk. There's a difference. God's going to make it so that you notice somebody that looks good. Let's just leave it at that. Now, I am not going to dig it any deeper. It is a deep enough hole that I'm in now. Don't worry, it's coming back around. Adultery is the violation of the covenant love, faithfulness, and value of your spouse. The word violate, that's the word I liked. I just violate. It brings a meaning of causing violence to, okay? Damage or harm. To desire sexually or otherwise, someone other than your covenant spouse violates, causes violence to, or brings violence to, the covenant mutuality of love and faithfulness that you entered into in your marriage. You're all real quiet today. Jesus makes it very clear, as I said, that this is a heart issue, an issue of the heart, right? To deliberately foster lust with erotic books, magazines, or websites goes against this commandment. There are enough temptations that the world throws at us by simply turning on the TV or driving down the road when there's billboards. To deliberately seek these things that can lead you to sin makes no sense. And yet, it's there. Jesus makes it very clear on how important it is to keep a pure heart. To the point of plucking out your eye or cutting off your hand. It is better to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. Jesus is telling us that we must deal with sin drastically and as radically necessary, cutting out all avenues that we know to be unhelpful in having that pure heart, which is a part of having kingdom life. Right? I'm going to talk some ancient history here. When my son was about, he fit in a chair with me. Okay, he's 6'2" now. It doesn't work. Okay? He was a little guy. And we had satellite TV and we were watching something on television. I couldn't tell you what it was, but he was up in a chair with me. And an advertisement for Victoria's Secret came on. And you know what my son said to me? That little guy, Victoria doesn't have very many secrets, does she, Dad? Minnie and I got rid of satellite TV, and we started watching what we could control so that it was something we didn't want to invite that into our house. Does that make sense? Yes. Now, I was picking on the guys. Do you know the most watched Diet Coke commercial there was? Ladies. We're going back a few years, just so you know. It's 11:30, and they all go to the window to watch the construction workers across the road. Do you remember? Yeah, well, the guy goes down there, he takes off his shirt, and he starts drinking a Diet Coke. And you know what all the women in the office say? See you tomorrow at 11:30. So it's not both sides of this. I mean, it's just not one-sided. Lust can happen in either direction. Okay? I have a daughter and a son. I heard what they were both looking for. My poor son walked into a pole looking in a store. And I just asked, what color eyes does she have? And he goes, she had eyes? And ladies, all I can say is, I know that you look at the man's arms, and we'll just leave it at that. If the man's tall enough to get something off the top shelf. Ah, listen, in the things that we've looked at, forgiveness and adulterous thoughts, they defile the soul and they can lead to bitterness, physical adultery, and spiritual death. If we don't deal with them immediately, it has to be dealt with. There's a book And it's an older book called, Every Man's Battle. There was also one, Every Woman's Battle. Bounce your eyes. If you notice, look away. Doesn't belong to you. Doesn't belong to you. Look away. We have to understand that. Deal with it immediately. Or it can lead to, like I said, to all those bad things. It is not yours. Don't lust after it. If you're angry or someone has something against you, go to the other person with the idea of reconciliation, not to prove yourself right, not to prove the other party wrong, but to bring about reconciliation. Go to them in peace and love and understanding. And this applies especially in marriage. Especially in marriage. Marriage is far more than a legal document that says you are united. I've got this piece of paper. I can live with you now. It goes way beyond that if you're married within the church. Marriage is not a contract. It is a covenant relationship that is between one man and one woman and God. And God. It is a lifelong commitment characterized by unconditional love, mutual sacrifice, and the solemn promise to remain together until death do you part. Now, I'm going to read to you from Malachi what God has to say about this in Malachi chapter 2, starting at verse 13. And this is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and sighing, because he no longer gives attention to the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your marriage companion and your wife by covenant. So we understand that it is covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. Not one who. And why the one? He was seeking godly offspring. Be careful then about your spirit, and see that none of you deals treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of armies. So be careful about your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Now, let's go all the way back to the beginning. And in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, and I hope I wrote down what verse it was, 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Philip, pay no attention to my butchering the Hebrew. Please. Helper is translated Ezer. That same word is used for God is my Ezer, my helper. Okay? And it's used numerous times in that context. The whole thing that is said there, and it means helper. The other part of it is conegdo. Ezer conegdo. This is to be my Ezer conegdo. I'm going to drag this. If it falls apart, it's not my fault. I'm going to mix metaphors, so bear with me. Let's start every marriage like we're supposed to on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Then you take two people and they're to come together. Ezer conecto. Well, let's see if it'll work. Ezer conecto. Support for the other person. Helper. Conegdo. Okay? It can mean opposition in a good way. Okay, let me explain. My wife and I are together. We have the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we lean into each other, right? And she sees me doing something that maybe I shouldn't be doing. First of all, she'll say, Pastor. Am I wrong? No, and seriously, the other person goes to the opposite, the spouse, and says, I see what you're doing, but that's not who you really are. You shouldn't probably do that or partake in that. Whatever it is, it can be either spouse. Because if I take the support of one away, the other one falls. And this is that nice triangle that I always try to get the newlyweds or the ones I'm going through marital counseling state. This is a triangle. If you're here and they're in the other person, spouse and spouse, one man, one woman, or one woman, one man, God, you keep wanting to go toward the top of that triangle, but you can't do it apart from each other. You've got to lean into each other. And this is all free and part of this. And I want you all to understand, especially if you're young enough not to be married, or maybe you're married and there's some trouble, you need each other. Work it out. Make it work. There are instances, and we'll get into that, where we can't work it out, where divorce does come in. Okay. Marriage is viewed as a sacred partnership that is unbreakable, with divorce considered a sinful rejection of the vows made, not only to each other, but also to God. This means individuals are responsible for demonstrating covenant love and loyalty even if their spouse does not reciprocate. It is the two becoming one physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and continuing to move forward in that relationship in all those aspects, in good times and in bad, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, until death do you part. We in our day and age don't really get the idea of the certificate of divorce like they did. Okay? To us, it just ends a legal union. If you are of the church, it's more complicated. But in all reality, it comes down to it's a legal union, it's over and done with, and we can move on. It's not to be that way. Back then, when a divorced woman without support from a family member, and it should have been the husband first and foremost, it starts out earlier than that with family members. Husband, father, it goes to husband, father, brother, or another close relative, okay? They had to have protection, because without that, they were at the mercy of whatever is around them. A woman without the certificate of divorce would probably end up in prostitution, because that was the only place you could go. This is what I've been reading, and I just want to share that with you. So, without the certificate that served as legal documentation, she was still bound to her husband. He could freely, at that time, marry another woman, but she could not. That we won't get into the fairness of that. It's just what it was. So it served as legal documentation that she was no longer bound to her husband. And this allowed her to remarry without being accused of adultery. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. I think it's in your further reading. And this could also, it would lead to renewed provision and protection. So we understand that. The certificate wasn't a divine approval of divorce, but a regulatory measure to prevent chaos and injuries in a broken marriage. And as I said, it served as protection for the woman whose husband sent her away. And it was for, I forgot exactly the word of it, but pretty much any reason. Okay, it came to the point where she burnt my supper, some of the commentaries were saying. Okay, so you could send your wife away for burning your supper. My dad would have, oh my. My mother thought he was a god because he got burnt offerings every night. Hebrews 13:4 says this. Marriage is to be held in honor among all. Everywhere. All. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterers. So it's not just one, it's all sexually immoral, right? The three main biblical grounds for divorce are sexual immorality, adultery, abandonment, and abuse. Abandonment, 1 Corinthians 7:15, okay, tells us about that. And it refers to a spouse's refusal to stay in the marriage, especially when they are an unbeliever. Okay? And abandonment can take different forms. Abuse is included because it violates the principles of love, safety, and mutual respect in marriage that is found in Ephesians 5. If you go read Ephesians 5, you can read all about that there. Physical, emotional, and sexual mistreatment of a marriage partner is a serious matter in the eyes of God because it fractures the marriage bonds. And if you read Ephesians 5, he is comparing the church as the bride and how he treats his bride. How are we treating each other as spouses? Are we fulfilling our marriage duties? Are we cherishing and loving no matter what? When any of these things happen, the violated party is free to marry without judgment. If you've been abused, if somebody's committed adultery against you, if you've been abandoned, you're free to marry without judgment, according to what I've understood here. But if you are the violator of the covenant relationship, then from what I see and what I understand, there will be judgment. There will be judgment for the sin committed. That being said, the ultimate goal in any relationship when it's suffering is reconciliation. But if there's been something, God didn't say you had, or Jesus didn't say you have to divorce. He said it was permitted because of the three things that I named. I'm going to ask you, if you're struggling with something, whether it's something we talked about this week or last week, or maybe it's one of the Beatitudes, if you're struggling with that and you're finding that you're not blessed because of something, or you have somebody that you know that you need to pray for that's going through a divorce, that is suffering from pornography, or whatever, I invite you to come and pray for them because they need lifted up in prayer. I invite you not only to pray for them, but to pray for yourself because except for the grace of God, there go I. Immorality is rampant in this country and we're just one step from it. Thank God for His grace and mercy. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we give You praise and we thank You for Your word and Your love of us and the mercy that You have shown us. We thank You, Lord, that we are cleansed of all sin. Every immoral thought and action, Lord, has been cast as far as the east is from the west, and we have been given new life in you, our Savior. Help us to remember, Lord, to love as you love. Help us to have pure hearts, that we could walk in the kingdom, not only now, but then, Lord, when you come. In Jesus' name. God is so good, so merciful, and so kind. And we are a blessed people. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we again come before you, thanking you for your mercy and grace, for your love of us, that you have cleansed us all from every sin. We praise you, Lord, for we know what we deserve. And you, Lord, have forgiven us and made us righteous and holy, sanctified. Praise your name. Praise your name. Be with us, Lord, and help us to be overcomers as we go about this week. Be with us in this coming meeting, Lord. Give us discernment and wisdom. Oh, Lord, we love you and thank you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You have about 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll have a sign-up sheet for you to sign in for the business meeting. So, yes.